Current state on 90.5 WKAR, the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra celebrates Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's birthday week this Saturday at the Michigan Theater. 90.5 FM broadcasts the concert live at 8 p.m. The All Mozart program showcases the great composer's talent in everything from opera to symphonic form. Principal oboist Timothy Mischling and soprano Jeanette Baxter-Vecchione are feature soloists. A2SO Music Director R.E.A. Lipsky greeted WKAR's Peter Wharf in the orchestra's offices last week. Lipsky first spoke of Mozart's growing awareness of his musical heritage.
A part of Mozart that we are not so familiar is admiration for the Baroque. He was introduced to the music of Handel and Bach by a close friend of his, and he was not familiar with the music and admired it quite considerably and tried to, that's where he, you know, where he mastered his fugal writing. And it's interesting because it's one of the only pieces that he wrote that there are some crossing out of music, crossing out of measures, that, you know, he was not happy with what came out in the beginning, and took him a while, and just about 6 or 7 years later, he decided to reorchestrate it for a string orchestra, and added an adagio, as kind of a French overture, to the whole piece, and it became one of Mozart's masterpieces in this genre of writing this fugues and canons and in the Baroque style, but with a hint of what's coming up, because it has a hint of Romanticism. It's a very, very interesting piece.
Let's talk about Jeanette and your past experience with her.
Yes, I've met Jeanette in Chautauqua, where I work in the summer, and was very impressed by her singing, and especially the coloratura singing. And we have done a couple of projects, but just last year we were in Israel doing actually the complete opera, the abduction of the Seraglio, of two of the arias she'll be singing with us tonight. She was doing the main character of Constanza. And just before she was supposed to come in, there was another aria by her servant in the opera story, Blanchin. And she's supposed to sing even higher than Constanza. She gets all the way to high E. And for whatever reason, Blanchin lost her voice in the middle of the first performance and just ran off stage. She was so surprised by that. And the whole thing was just kind of, you know, you can, this 20 seconds that you feel that's the end of the world. Anyway,
Have you ever had anything like that happen before, where a singer just loses it?
No.
Yeah.
No, that was quite unusual.
Yeah.
And leaving the stage, I mean, she did not even mimic her part or something like that. In any case, we were looking at each other, Jeanette and I, and so she kind of signaled, shall I sing it? And I said, go ahead. And she completed the aria from backstage, and nobody in the audience had the slightest clue of what happened. They thought it was just part of the show. So that was quite amazing. So
that's an amazing story. She has another very interesting story, this whole idea of her exceeding as an athlete, being scouted as an NCAA Division I basketball player, but then discovering this other talent that she had.
Her range and quality of sound have been compared to Beverly Sills. Her three-point shot to the likes of Larry Bird.
We're talking about a talented teenager who never thought she'd wind up a soprano, let alone at Juilliard. Amy Stone explains.
Baxter launching a three. Bullseye!
Jeanette Baxter is a basketball legend at Longwood High School. She holds a school record 150 three-pointers. The 19-year-old graduated in 2002 and has gone from sinking three-pointers to singing Cleopatra's arias at Juilliard. Jeanette was scouted by Division I schools expecting a full scholarship to play ball. But then one day, Jeanette was joking around with friends after chorus class. Her choral teacher, Ellen Levine, heard something special.
Yeah, she's quite talented, and I've seen her in action. As you know, she's a very good player, but she's an amazing singer, a great talent.
Principal oboist will be your soloist for the Mozart Oboe Concerto.
Yes, I'm so happy whenever we have an orchestral player from the orchestra play solo with us, and Tim is an exceptional player. I'm really looking forward to this concerto. This is a piece which I, as a flutist, played, and Mozart was able to get two fees for one piece. He wrote the flute concerto in D, and then later he wrote the same piece in C major as an oboe concerto. Was able to get another fee.
There's nothing new about multitasking.
That's right. I think these days it wouldn't, with the internet, it wouldn't have worked. But those days it was fine.
You'll conclude the program with Mozart Symphony No. 40. It, and along with the 39th, the 41st, really that last three of Mozart symphonies are among his, as many have said, his doorway into Romanticism. And you touched on that earlier. Talk about that essence of Mozart.
Mozart composed his last three symphonies, 39, 40 and 41 in the summer of 1788. And it is rather amazing that these glorious three symphonies from start to finish were written without sketches, no corrections, no revisions, no commissions or fee, no expected performances, composed for the sake of music alone. And unfortunately, never to be heard by their creator. They are all very different, but in a way signal the future. And there are hints of romanticism in each of them. For instance, the first movement of Symphony No. 40, the ability to take these two notes, motif, and just make a whole movement out of that. We usually talk about Beethoven with the ability of just the amazing ability to take few notes and make a whole movement out of that, you know, develop them in all kinds of ways and means. But it all started a little early,
right.
Really shows the real genius of Mozart.
I can't wait to hear it. Mozart Symphony No. 40 on this All Mozart program, the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra, conducted by music director Arie Lipsky. Maestro, thanks again so much.
My pleasure. Looking forward.
For Current State, this is Peter Wolf.